All right, appreciate you being here this morning. I know you all decided to get up early and come to chapel and because you just couldn't wait to hear God's word, right?
Amen.
Yeah, I'm sure a bunch of liars. That's what you all are. But I'm glad you're here this morning. We're looking forward to having a great day serving the Lord. And I tell you what, it's a joy to serve God, isn't it? And I pray that your heart would be filled with just the praise and the joy of being able to serve him. If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to Jeremiah chapter number 1. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1. We'll look at one verse, verse number 5, where the Bible says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Can we read that together? Let's read verse number 5 together. Ready? Begin. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you would use it in our lives this morning to prepare us for what you have before us today. We thank you and praise you for your goodness. We thank you for our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. We are unworthy of that sacrifice. We're unworthy of that love, but we are so thankful for it. I pray, Father, that you would use these thoughts that you've laid upon my heart to be a blessing, an encouragement, and a challenge to these students. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you have ever made an excuse up before? How many of you have done that? You made an excuse? How many of you would say, you know, I'm pretty good at making excuses? Or how many are like that? Okay, I'm pretty good at making them. Now, we make excuses like, I don't feel good. How many of you have ever used that one? I just don't feel good. I don't know what to do. How many of you have ever used that excuse? Okay. How about, I can't find the right tools? That's the one I use with my wife all the time. Or how about this one? I don't have enough time. Raise your hand on that one. Come on. All right. How about this? Every hand should be raised on this one. I didn't get enough sleep. Okay. All right. You got that one. You feel kind of guilty right now. Or I've been too busy. Maybe that. Or how about, I've heard this before. My document disappeared on my computer. All right. All right. Come on, students. All right. Term paper. It was there, but it just kind of vanished. Or this one, the printer didn't work. All right, I have printer problems. Okay, those are excuses. Now we think about some excuses about getting into relationships. This has nothing to do with soul winning. But I do have seven big reasons why you don't get relationships. But I have a bonus one, number 8, okay? But here it is. The timing isn't right for me right now. I don't want to lose what we already have. I don't want to get serious right now. I'm too busy with school and work. Yeah, right. I'm afraid to hurt you. Or I'm just not ready yet. Now, this might be a little real, this one. I just don't see us together in the future. That's a slam, isn't it? Okay. But then here's the biggest one I hear. I'm praying about it. Yeah, you just want to spiritualize it, don't you? Well, I'm just praying about it. Yeah, right. You're not praying about anything. Jeremiah, listen, Jeremiah had the same excuses that we use. God called him to be a prophet. Now, Jeremiah wasn't called to serve the Lord when it was convenient. It was just the opposite. It was a time when God had enough with their idolatry and his judgment was about to be poured out in Judah. We know that God used King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon to bring his judgment upon the nation of Israel. 3 times the king Nebuchadnezzar invaded the land in 606 BC, 598 BC, and finally in 586 BC when the victory was finalized. Jeremiah was called to serve during a very difficult and challenging time. From the beginning, Jeremiah offered many excuses not to answer the call. This is interesting. Some of the same excuses that he used are the same excuses that we lean upon when we're not willing to obey God's calling upon our lives. Or when there's a ministry opportunity before us, we tend to make these same excuses. Now this morning we're going to look at four excuses that Jeremiah offered, and honestly, they're the same excuses that you and I use even today. But not only are we going to look at the excuses, but we're going to look at parallel promises to those excuses. And we must facilitate this in our own mind and our own heart, that if we're going to be obedient to God and if we're going to live our lives for the cause of Christ, that the promises that we find in God's word have to cancel out our excuses. Because if God's promises are not bigger and stronger and mightier in our hearts and in our minds, listen, we will live by our excuses and we'll never accomplish anything for the cause of Christ. Because we all have excuses. All of us. I have excuses. Dr. Rasmussen has excuses. Dr. Goetz has excuses. We all have excuses. But we must look at the promises of God, because once we kind of lay those promises of God over our excuses, guess what? Our excuses look pretty lame. So the first excuse that Jeremiah offers to God is this: simply, the task is too demanding. The task is too demanding. Look at verse number 5 again. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Here is his excuse. God said, I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet unto the nations, not a priest like his father or grandfather. A prophet was chosen and authorized, a spokesman who declared God's word to the people. We often think a prophet as a people who could tell the future. A prophet spoke messages to present to the present that they had a future ramification. They were forthtellers, more than foretellers, exposing the people's sins, calling them back to a covenant relationship with God. Being a prophet was more demanding than serving as a priest. A priest's duties were predictable. Everything was written down in the law for them. A prophet never knew from one day to the next what God would call him to do. A priest worked primarily with the present, to preserve the present. The prophet labored to change the present so that they would have a future. The priest dealt with the externals, rituals, sacrifices, offerings, services, whereas the prophet tried to change and reach the heart. Priests ministered primarily to individuals and their needs. The prophets, however, on the other hand, addressed the nation. And usually the people did not want to hear the message that God had for them. But here's the promise. Just as God called Jeremiah to a demanding task, God gave him a promise that would anchor his heart, his mind, and even his strength to faithfully serve the Lord during a very challenging time for 40 years. Now, if we look at Jeremiah's life, we wouldn't say, wow, he was successful. Look at the revival that took place under his leadership, under his preaching. No, but he was faithful. He was faithful to the calling upon God, God's calling upon his life. Now, think about this. Here's the promise. Look at verse number 5. God said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now the words, I knew thee, carries the idea of a recognition of worth and purpose of whom who was known. God knew Jeremiah. God chose Jeremiah. God appointed Jeremiah. God set Jeremiah apart for a very specific purpose. God handpicked Jeremiah for this demanding task. Now here it is. I believe with all my heart, God has called each and every one of us to a demanding task. And that task is right before us today. The Bible says in John 15, verse number 16, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. God has called us to be his representative to this world today. As we go out soul winning today, guess what we're doing? We are representing Jesus Christ. And we need to realize that when we offer these excuses, well, this is too big of a task. We need to realize that the promise is that God's called us to be his representative. And we need to allow that to fuel our hearts and say, you know what? We can do this for the cause of Christ. It is something that God has called us to do. Now, whatever the task may be, if it's an Easter outreach, going to every house in our community to invite them to be part of our Easter celebration services, or like the hunt, I want to challenge you to embrace this opportunity that's before us because we are in the life-changing business. The gospel changes a life forever. Now think about that. What we're about to do, we have the opportunity, we have the potential, we have a demanding task that what we're about to do, we could change someone's life forever. And the gospel is able to do that. The gospel is a life-changing message. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God has enlisted every believer to be a part of this work. Every one of us. You say, well, I'm just here for the one-year Bible. It doesn't matter. You're a believer. You're a Christ follower. God has called us to labor for him. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10, for we, you and me, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I can't think of a better work than telling someone about Jesus Christ. Now, there might be, but I can't think of one. Well, we have an opportunity to open up God's unchanging word and share with them God's wonderful plan and purpose for their life. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Listen, we need to realize that we have a demanding task, yes, but we have a wonderful promise. We've been called, we've been commissioned, and God desires to use each and every one of you. I'm not sure how God's going to use you today. God may use you today just to plant the seed. God may use you today to water that seed. God may use you today to harvest that seed. I'm not sure, but herein is that saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labor, and ye are entered into their labors. I'm sure it's happened to many of us. We've gone to a soul winning call. We knocked on the door, and we started talking to the person, and we witnessed to them, and all of a sudden, they get saved. We walk away and say, man, that was easy. Wow, they just accepted it. You know why? Because someone else did all the labor. They're the ones that, you know, they planted the seed, they watered the seed, they prayed for that seed. And all we did, we entered into their labors. But God's the one that brings forth the increase, not us. So I'm not sure exactly where we're going to be at in this process, but here it is. The main thing is this. We got to go. We got to understand that God's called us. So we see the second excuse that Jeremiah offered. My talent is deficient. Look what he said in verse number 6. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. It's amazing. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, I'm just not a talker like you. Well, I'm not a talker. I'm quiet. But I realize this, that when I have an opportunity to share Christ, I got to forget who Jerry Fursell is. And I got to remember that I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And he has a message that he's put on my heart to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Now listen, we all of you have to realize that that you cannot offer the excuse, well, I'm not comfortable in speaking to people. I have a my personality is a little bit more reserved. Now listen, that is just an excuse. That's all it is. It's an excuse. Jeremiah offered this excuse that most of us have used by simply saying, I just don't have the talent or the gift of speaking. Now, Jeremiah wasn't looking at himself. Jeremiah was looking at himself through the natural lenses. He wasn't looking through the lenses of what God could do in and through him. Can you think of somebody else who offered this excuse? I can't speak. Moses. Moses said in Exodus chapter 4, verse number 10, and Moses said unto the Lord God, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore, nor since as thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of a tongue. So Moses was just offering and saying, Lord, I can't speak. But you know, a couple verses down, we really kind of get the heart of the matter where Moses was at. You look at verse number 14, and basically what Moses was saying is, I just don't want to do it. He said, verse number 14, verse 13, excuse me, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Now, basically what Moses was saying was this, with all due respect, Lord, why don't you just send someone else? Because I don't want to go. And here it is. We have to face this at times. It's not that we don't have the gift of speaking or we can't talk. What it is the excuse. The bottom line is that we just don't want to do it. Now we're all there. We all have that sometimes in us. I mean, I have to battle that. I remember my first summer here, it was smoking hot. I mean, the first 2 weeks, it did not get under 110 during the daytime. And my responsibility was simply this, knock on doors. Just knock on doors. And I'll be honest with you, about 2 weeks out of doing that in 110, 115 degree weather, I was tired. I lost 20 pounds in 3 weeks. Just lost it. I mean, just boom, it's gone. Boy, to have that problem again. Amen? And I remember sitting in my car, Chevy Citation. How many remember those? Those were cool cars. And I remember sitting in that car. It had no AC. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I don't want to do this. I do not want to do this. And I sat there, I'm just sweating like a pig. I don't know why we say that, but I was sweating like a pig. And so I sat there, I said, what am I going to do? So, now this ain't real spiritual. I took my car keys and I just threw them out the window. I sat there a little bit longer and I said, okay, what am I going to do now? I'm stuck. I can't go to McDonald's because my keys are out there. So I said, well, grabbed a handful of tracts, got my New Testament, and walked outside and out of the car and picked up my keys and thought, well, since I'm outside right now, just better keep on going. Not the greatest motivation, huh? It was like, wow, I had this vision from heaven. No. Because sometimes, you guess what? We just don't want to do it. But here's the promise now. Look at verse number 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Look at that promise. It says, say not, listen, here, don't say I'm a child. And Jeremiah wasn't, he wasn't like in fifth grade or sixth grade. Jeremiah was about 17 to 22 years old. Guess what? He's your age. Jeremiah would be sitting in this room right now. So he wasn't a little kid. he would have been one of your peers. And he offered the excuse, well, I'm just a child. But God can use anything he chooses. He used a rod to become a serpent. He used that same rod to split the Red Sea. He used a little shepherd boy to defeat a champion. He used three teenagers who wouldn't bow to the king and was tossed into a fiery furnace, and they walked out with no sunburn. He used a little lad with a little lunch to feed 5,000. If God could use all these different types of people and things to bring forth his work and to accomplish his work, I believe God could use you and me. Is there anything too hard for God? No. He can use you. As God directs our lives and puts us in people's lives, he's doing it for a reason, for a purpose. We are on a divine mission, and that divine mission is to declare his message of forgiveness, acceptance, and love. I remember this soul winning experience. I don't remember exactly how I came across this man. I believe his wife came to church here, and I think she came out to me and asked me, hey, would you go visit my husband? And I said, of course I will. And I remember his name is Dan, and I went to go visit Dan over in East Palmdale, and it was a kind of a, you know, shady type of area, and I had one of our law enforcement guys with me, who was my soul winning partner on Saturdays. I said, hey, we're going to go to this area. And I said, you know, that's not a very good area. And I said, yeah, but, you know, it's okay. I'm okay with it. Are you okay with it? He said, yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm packing. And I said, okay. I said, then we're good. I said, I'm packing too. I got my Bible, you know, my gospel gun. And so we went, knocked on the door, and Dan opened up the door, and I looked at him. And Brother Getch, I've seen tattoos. I mean, I've seen people tattooed everywhere. You know, it amazes me sometimes how they look. It's just like, really? But I never seen this before. Right across his neck, probably about maybe 3 inches wide or tall, was a cuss word. And honestly, I try not to stare like at tattoos or, you know, different things that are just weird. Just trying to keep my eyes focused on the person. But my mind said, did you read that right? And I'm thinking, no way. And so I kind of dropped my eyes down real quick, and what I first initially thought I saw is actually what I saw. And I was shocked by that. And he invited us in. We sat down in his living room and started talking to him. And his little daughter, I think she was about 6 or 7 years old, sat next to him. And I'll never forget this. Going through the gospel presentation, he looked at me and said, I don't think God would ever love me. And he didn't say it in a like in a cocky way, like God wouldn't love me. It was sincere. It was, I don't think God would love somebody like me. And he looked at me and says, you don't know all that I've done. And I said, Dan, you're right. I don't know everything that you've done. But I said this, God does. And I said, Dan, in spite of everything that you've ever done, God still loves you. I was able to turn the Bible and go to Romans chapter 5, where the Bible says, moreover, the law entered that offenses might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I said, Dan, I don't know. I'm not sure how far you've fallen, but it really doesn't matter. Because God's grace goes a little farther, goes a little deeper than your sin. And it was such a joy to share the gospel with Dan and see him come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that next Sunday, he got baptized. This is in the summertime. It's hot. You know, it gets hot around here in the summertime. But he came, and this is before we had our designer t-shirts, you know, I've decided to follow Jesus, you know, those designer ones. He wore a turtleneck, one of those real big ones. And it was one of the coolest baptisms that I ever had, just to see the life change that took place in his heart and in his life. The power of the gospel. So the task is demanding. Jeremiah used that excuse. My talent is deficient. He used that. The third is the time is not desirable. Jeremiah just felt like he felt immature. He felt inferior. He felt inexperienced. He felt intimidated. Jeremiah was saying, you know, I still need to grow. I'm not ready yet. I have my whole life to serve God. Maybe I don't want to take this too seriously yet. And we might use that saying. You might use that. Yeah, I don't want to take this too seriously. I'm still a college student. I'm not mature enough. I have so much to learn. I still want to have fun. Isn't there someone else who is more prepared than me? May I say this? There's never a convenient time to serve God. There will always be something or someone that will try to steer you away from doing what God has called you to do. And young people, it's your time to serve the Lord. The timing is now. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never come. But listen, we have today. We have today. Don't resist it, receive it. Don't wander, but witness. Don't retreat, but respond. Don't vacillate, but activate. Don't be silent, but speak. Don't back down, be bold. Don't falter, but have faith. Jesus said this to his disciples, say not ye, there are 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Jesus also said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. But then we see, finally, Jeremiah offered this excuse. He said, I'm terrified. It's dangerous. Why did he offer that excuse? Really, there's two reasons. Number one, the message was of one of judgment. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto me a second time. And may I say this, that little phrase, the word came unto me, I think, I didn't write this down, but I think it was used 20-some times, maybe 32 times, and the number 32 comes to my mind, but it was a lot throughout the book of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came unto me. The word of the Lord came unto me. You know what's going to help us to get over our excuses? The word came unto me. Amen. The word came unto me. The word came unto me. The word came unto me. The word came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north of the, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. So what was Jeremiah, what was this vision? He saw, you know, those big pots, you know, that they would cook things in or maybe put materials in and to purify the materials. But this pot was tilted a little bit, so it wasn't level. And so when the water began to boil, guess what would happen? It would what? Come out. It would flow out because it was tilted. And that tilt was towards the north. And what his prophecy, his message was that from the north, Babylon was going to come down and they were going to pour out the wrath of God upon the children of Israel. Why? Because they were disobedient to God. They defiled God. They ignored God. They disobeyed God. And because of that, judgment was certain. We must speak the truth. But we also need to speak the truth in love. Now, a lot of people won't hear the truth, but we still need to speak the truth. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers as having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. But verse 5 says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our message is clear. As Dr. Getz said earlier, our message is what? Jesus saves. That's our message. We are to take the message of Christ. We serve a risen Savior. His grave is empty today. We rejoice that he was victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And our message, we need to learn it, we need to love it, we need to live it. And listen, we need to declare his message. The Bible tells us, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Man, we need to preach the gospel. Last Saturday, not this Saturday, but the Saturday before, I was making a visit over in East Lancaster, and parents didn't come to the door. I think they're hiding from me because, you know, the kids were lit there, and they're smaller kids, so I think the parents are kind of, like, maybe fed up with me, all right? I'm kind of gauging that. I'm going to give that call to Brother Choi and have him go over there. And I know they're home, but they just, you know, and always mom's in the shower. She must be the cleanest woman in Lancaster, you know. She's always in the shower. And anyways, okay. And so I'm driving down the street, pulling out of that housing track area. And I drove past this one house and had about 10 kids outside. And I kind of drove past it. And the Lord, I didn't hear an audible voice. Like, go talk to them. You know, I didn't hear that. But in my heart, I said, you know what? I'm going to do a U-turn. I'm going to go back there, and I'm going to start talking to kids about the hunt. So I stopped the car, get out of my car. Hey, kids, how y'all doing? Is mom or dad home? And they said, Uncle Rufus is there. I don't know his uncle's name. Rufus is a good name, amen? Uncle Rufus is here. I said, okay, get Uncle Rufus. Well, Uncle Rufus never came out. And so I'm talking to kids about the hunt, and he said, oh, yeah, we want to go. And I said, okay. I said, tell your mom about it. We'll tell Uncle Rufus. Okay. And so I kind of look. I get emails into my inbox when someone pre-registers for the hunt. And I was kind of looking at the address, and no one's come over here. So Monday night after work, it was about 6 o'clock. I went home and got my wife and said, hey, let's go get a taco. She said, okay. You want to go get a taco? Yeah, she said, yeah, let's go. So we go. I'm going down 15th Street North. She said, where are you going? I said, well, we got to make a visit first. So I didn't tell her that. I told her we're going to go get a taco. And I said, okay. And so this was Monday now. So I'm going back to that house. And so I get out of the car, and the kids were outside playing again. And so I walked up there, and mom was there. And so I started talking to mom, and all the kids were there. And I said, hey, y'all want to come to the hunt? Yeah. And mom said, yeah, they can go to the hunt. And so I get all kind of excited about that and getting them to sign up. And it's this. Here it is. The hunt, that's your demanding task. The hunt is the college event. The hunt, the success of it, the fruitfulness of it, guess what? It's all up to you. The church is not going out with hunt flyers. Now we have them on the table. We go, hey, if you come across some kids, but the hunt is yours. Now, I'm going to go back to that family because I still didn't see them register yet. But here it is. We have an opportunity today, and here's the challenge. Okay, I'm not sure how many students are here. I think 5,000, okay? All right? But here it is. All of you today should do this. Make yourself this challenge from today's Wednesday to Friday night. So we got Wednesday and Thursday, but we're going to be done in a minute. Here it is. for each of you to get two. Come on, put your fingers up. Everybody do this. Yeah, peace. Come on. Put them up. Put your fingers up. Come on. All right, here it is. You just do one. Two. Come on. There we go. All right, all right. Okay. Can you get two kids?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Can you get two?
Amen. Yes.
Now, that's a task. Guess what? I'm going to go back to that family because it's a fishing hole. Because I think there's about 12 kids there. I'm not going to tell you where it's at because you're all going to go there. All right? You divide up with the six of them. Okay, we got our two. Nah, that's mine. All right? You don't tell people about your fishing holes, do you? Uh-uh. Those are, it's in Roseman. Go there, okay? But here it is. Get your two. That's a task. Well, you know, okay, what excuse are you going to use? I'm Brother Smithy. Well, you know, I'm 40 years old. I think you're 40. I don't know. You might be a little bit older. 42. Now, I saw some of you on social media how you went to, you know, Walmart talking to kids. I think that would be a little bit strange if you and I did that. And because, you know, see us old men, you know, hey, you want to go to the hub? You know, I don't know. They'd probably say, security, security, go to line number 7. There's two men, old men, trying to talk to kids. I don't think that's the best approach for you and me. We go to a park. We can go down the street. But here it is. Are you going to offer an excuse? Are you going to offer an excuse? Or you're going to receive the challenge. You're going to receive the mission that's before you. Are you going to be like Jeremiah and say, okay, I see it. Because it came along in Jeremiah's heart that he realized that God had called him and commissioned him. And Jeremiah was faithful in the calling upon his life. It wasn't one where he was, you know, called to preach at, you know, worldwide conferences. His message was one of judgment. Oh, yes, he was misunderstood, he was persecuted, he was thrown in jail, and multiple times almost lost his life. But Jeremiah was faithful. Now, what's before us today? Kids that come to a hunt. Yeah, listen, it's not for the games. It's not for the snacks. It's not for the Easter egg hunt. It's so that they can hear the message of Jesus Christ. And each and every one of you have to embrace and realize, okay, this is what God has for us. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's not offer excuses. Let's get out into the fields this morning and this afternoon as whenever you possibly can. Say, oh, let's reach two. Let's do that. Now remember what the Bible says. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Listen, we have these wonderful promises to cancel out our excuses. The task is too demanding. My talent is deficient. The time is not desirable. And I'm terrified. It's dangerous. Listen, we all need to be reminded that God is greater than all our excuses. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that? I hope you do. If you don't believe that God is greater than all your excuses, listen, your whole life, all you're going to do is make excuses. You've got to get to the point in your mind and your heart that realize that God is greater. God is greater than me. What I mean by that, you look at yourself and say, man, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have this ability, I don't have that talent. God is greater. God is greater. He's able to use my weaknesses. He's able to use my insufficiencies. However you view yourself, listen, God is greater, and God could use you.